Heaven, we do thank you for your word. We thank you so much that you speak to us a present word, a timeless word for us this very day as your people. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to hear your voice today, that your spirit would cause us to listen well and to understand and to know how to live in line with what we hear. And we ask this, that Jesus Christ might be glorified, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, you might be well and truly over politics, but as it's my last sermon with you, please let me be a little bit self-indulgent and use a political introduction from Alison and my favourite TV series, a programme called The West Wing. The West Wing is a political drama that screened through the 90s, early 2000s, and it's set in the US, and it's about a Democrat president, Josiah Bartlett, played by Martin Sheen, and his presidential team, his staff. That's what the program is about. And it's thrilling, gripping drama. I love it. I recommend it. Brian has the box set. Speak to him and get them. Borrow them. That's really excellent. Early in season one, the president's struggling. It's his first term in office. But he's not doing well. He's failing to lead. He's sort of lost his nerve, lost his spine. He knows it. And his staff know it. And the polls aren't favourable as a result. Now, I'm going to play a little bit, but that's the context for this point of The West Wing. Number three, is it, Jeff, or two? Two. Not David. Help me, Jeff.
This is working. We're going to put the ball in the air. If we're going
to... I'm just going to go back a touch, if I can.
I'm going to walk into walls. I want us running into them full speed.
What are you saying?
Or you can start by telling the Hill the president's named his nominees to the FBI.
Bear with me. Number two.
But we're not going to be threatened by issues. We're going to put them front and center. We're going to raise the level of public debate in this country. And let that be our legacy.
Help me again, Jack.
That sound all right to you, Josh?
I serve at the pleasure of the President of the United States.
Sorry about that, Prince. Hasn't worked. Never mind. What happens is, as I said, they're not doing well in the... It's okay. They're not doing well in the polls, as I said. And the President, the Chief of Staff, calls in the presidential team. And he asks them, are they ready to come with the President again, as he starts to set his agenda and starts to implement his program of change for the country. And one by one... the Chief of Staff asks the staff members, will you come with us? And one by one they say, I serve at the pleasure of the President of the United States. I serve at the pleasure of the President of the United States. I serve at the pleasure of President Bartlett. And it's an inspiring scene in an inspiring series. And the question that I have for us as Christians is, could we say the same about our President, the Lord Jesus Christ? That I serve at the pleasure of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because sometimes people who aren't Christians, who look in on the Christian faith and the Christian life, don't think that Christian service could be joyful and pleasurable and that we're pleased to please the Lord Jesus. Sometimes people looking in would think that actually the Christian life is about rules. Rules that we don't really want to keep. Rules that we have to obey unhappily to placate an unhappy God. And that the whole thing is burdensome and tiresome and something really that we don't want to have to do. But we just have to live this way. That's how people can sometimes think life as a Christian is. But what I want to suggest to us today is that we can indeed say, I serve at the pleasure of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what needs to happen for us to be able to say that is for us to understand who we are as Christians and where we live as Christians. When we understand these two things, we will rejoice to give our devoted service to our Lord Jesus Christ. When we understand who we are as Christians and where we live as Christians, we will be pleased to please our King, the Lord Jesus. Let's have a look at the passage. The first thing that we need to understand is where we live as Christians. So have a look with me, firstly, from verse 1 of our passage. Verses 1 to 4, chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Follow along with me. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Why is it a joy to serve God? Why do we serve at the pleasure of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because Jesus has taken us to heaven. Do you see that? Verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. That's where we live as Christians, raised with Christ in heaven. We live on earth, yes, but we live in heaven at exactly the same time. For heaven is where God is. That's what heaven is. And through trusting in Jesus and his death for us and resurrection, well, we've been raised with Jesus and seated with Jesus at God's right hand. That's our home. You see, it's actually not quite right to say of a departed Christian brother or sister, oh, they have died and gone to heaven. Because they were actually in heaven before they died. Anyone who's a Christian is in heaven, raised with Christ. It's past tense. Since, not you will be raised, but since then you have been raised with Christ. This is a present reality for us as Christians. And it's happened the moment we put our trust in Jesus. We came to be raised with Christ to heaven. This is where we live as Christians. This is our home as Christians. It's our residence. It's our dwelling. We live in heaven. And when we understand this, we're going to rejoice to serve the Lord Jesus who has taken us there. Because we must understand that there's one way to get to this heaven. One way in, one access point, it's the Lord Jesus. No other way to heaven, no other path but Jesus. My mum and dad are here today. My dad has a membership to ANZ Stadium, which is a fantastic thing. Dad gets tickets occasionally to some of the big games at ANZ Stadium. Now, I'm not a member, so I can't get in myself, not to enjoy those good seats at those big games anyway. But I can enjoy Dad's membership and get in with him, who is a member. And he generously invites me to do that, which is a wonderful thing. Now, it's the same idea for us as Christians. Do you see again, verse 1, since then you have been raised with Christ. If you're a Christian, if you've put your trust in Jesus, then Jesus takes you to heaven or has taken you to heaven. You're there now. You're seated in the stadium because Jesus has taken you there. This is our residence. This is where we live, and this is how we've come to live there, through trusting in Jesus. And so, friends, how are we to live as Christians? Well, that's what this passage is all about. And what it's telling us to do is to recognize our home, to understand our residence, to know where we live, and to live appropriately. It's not saying to us to live so that you make it to heaven. That's a completely different thing, and a lot of people think that that's what the Christian life is all about. That's what it's not saying. What it's saying is live seeing that you're already in heaven, seeing that Jesus has taken you into the stadium, into heaven. Well, live like this. That's what the passage is about. You see it in verses 1 and verse 2. Verse 1, set your minds on things above. That is, look around, recognize that you're in heaven. Set your hearts on things above. Sorry, set your hearts, verse 1, set your minds, verse 2. Understand where we live, friends, and live appropriately. See, our old life is done with. But that's what it means when it says that we have died, or you have died, verse 3. It means your old self, your old sinful self has died. And we're to be done with that now. The school that I went to when I was younger was a rugby-playing school. Right? If you were good at rugby, if you were in the first 15, the crowds of other boys would part for you as you walked around the school community. They were at the top of the tree, and they knew it, and they enjoyed it. I certainly was never a part of that world. I was at the other end of the pecking order, and I knew my place as well. But one of the sad things I noticed when I went to my 10-year school reunion was But some of those guys who had enjoyed that kudos back at school were still talking about it 10 years later on. Honestly, I had a conversation with one guy who was talking to me about rugby games that they'd won or lost 10 years ago, back in our school days. But everybody had moved on. Nobody cared about rugby once we left school. And friends, we're to be like that as Christians. You see, we've left behind our old selves. That's not a part of our new home, heaven. Sin's to be done with. That's gone. We're not to hang on to it. We're not to look back to it. We're not to keep indulging it. That's over. We've left that country now, friends. We've come to a new country, heaven, with Jesus. Recognize it and live appropriately. That's what the passage is all about. And when we understand that, that Jesus has taken us to heaven, but we'll say, I serve at the pleasure of the Lord Jesus Christ. No burden in that. No frustration in that. Just joy to serve our Savior King, the Lord Jesus. And what Paul does next is tell us what that looks like. He fleshes it out for us, life in this new country. And what it is all about is dressing appropriately. That's the big theme of this passage, dressing appropriately. And the first thing that we're to do is to take off our old clothes, our clothes that fit us in the old country. And that's what verses 5 to 8 are about. So have a look with me, verses 5 to 8. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. When a team of us travelled to India last year on the mission trip, we didn't wear shorts. We wore long trousers the whole time. Now, I would have really liked to have been able to wear shorts. It was unbelievably hot and unbelievably humid. And I melted most of the time that I was there. Would have loved to have worn shorts. But men in India don't wear shorts. Just culturally, they don't do it. They cover their legs. They wear trousers. Long pants the whole time. So for us, as we moved to this new country, India, and met these Indian pastors, it was very important to us to dress appropriately in India. And that meant leaving our shorts behind. Didn't take a pair with me. That's what it was to live in India. And the same is the case for us as Christians. Now that we've left our old sinful selves behind and are now residents of heaven with Jesus, well, we're to leave our old clothes behind. We're to put them off. In fact, Paul's even stronger. He says, verse 5, put to death. Burn up those old clothes. Incinerate them. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. He gives us a list of things there. Fleshes them out for us. I don't think it's an exhaustive list. But it's interesting to have a look at it. I think we can roughly categorize the list as being where to put off impure sex and where to put off impure speech. It's interesting that these were a problem for people back in the first century. Of course, they're still a problem for us now in the 21st century, aren't they? But they don't belong to our new home in heaven. Impure sex, impure speech, we're done with it. We put it to death, burn it up, it's gone. We're not to engage with those practices anymore. They're the things that we're to leave behind. And again, look at verses 9 to 11, because when we do this, we see why we're to live this way. Again, it's not about rule-keeping. It's about pleasing Jesus, who has given us a new identity and a new home. Have a look with me, verses 9 to 11. Do not lie to each other. Why? Is it just a rule that we shouldn't lie? Why? What's the reason that Paul gives? Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all and is in all. We put off these old clothes because we are a new person with a new home. Here is my driver's license. It has my name on it. But it's not quite accurate. Tim Cox. A more accurate name is Christian. See, that's who I am now. United with Christ. I'm a Christian. That's my identity. Now, that's your identity too if you trust in Jesus' death and resurrection. You are a Christian. And Paul is saying, live appropriately. Don't lie to each other. You're a Christian. Do you see that? Verse 9, you've taken off your old self, your old identity. You're done with that. Verse 10, you've put on the new self. You've become a new person. Paul elsewhere calls you a new creation. Brand new identity. That's why we don't lie. That's why we don't practice impure sex or impure speech. We're new people now. And not only that, we have a new home, heaven. That's what the beginning of verse 11 refers to here. Here, verse 11. There is no Greek or Jew. And on it goes. Here in heaven, we don't hurt each other. We don't divide from each other by lying to each other. No, no, we're a part of a new community. Those who are united with Jesus and seated with God in heaven. We don't hurt each other with our tongues. We build each other up. We love each other. We encourage each other. We care for each other. We speak the truth in love. So important, friends, that we understand the reason that we live this way. Because of who Jesus has made us and where Jesus has brought us to. You might see in your NIV Bible there, just above verse 1, that little subtitle, Rules for Holy Living. We need to remember that these subtitles aren't Scripture. They aren't the Word of God. And this is probably the place where they get it more wrong than anywhere. I'd be happy for you to take a red pen out and cross that out. Rules for Holy Living. That's not what this passage is about, friends. It's not a list of rules for you. Just in the section immediately beforehand, we're told to not be bullied by rules. We've died to rules with Jesus. Now, what we're being taught here in chapter 3 is not rules for holy living, not a to-do list, a checklist, some ladder that we're to climb to please God. We're being told about our new identity. We're being told about our new home, and we're being encouraged to live appropriately, to recognize what Jesus has done and where he's taken us. And we're being told to live appropriately. Not only do we put off our old clothes, we put on new clothes. There is a dress code for this new heavenly community that we're a part of. And that's what the next section is about from verse 12. So follow along with me from verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. There's a lot of items of clothing that Paul refers to here. A lot of garments that are appropriate to put on in our new home, heaven. They would each be worthy of a sermon in their own right. But I think Paul gives us his own summary, and it's in verse 14. An example of a dress code is black tie, the dress code, the summary of the dress code is verse 14. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Love is to be the summary principle for us as Christians. That's to be how we live as Christians, fit for our new home, heaven. Love is the dress code, a little bit like black tie, but it's just as you say, black tie, there's lots of garments that make up black tie as a dress code. So it is with love. There's lots of details, lots of specifics that Paul refers to here. One of them is forgiveness. If I could just pick one, let me pick forgiveness in verse 13. Again, this is to be part of how we live as those seated with Christ in heaven. Verse 13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. See, Paul assumes here, really, doesn't he, that we're going to hurt each other, that it'll happen, that we'll continue to sin against each other. See, yes, we're seated with Christ in heaven, but it doesn't mean that we're perfect yet. Yes, we're to dress appropriately for our new identity, a new residence in heaven, but we're not going to get it right all the time. And when we do sin against each other, well, we're to forgive. And we're to forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. That is, we must remember, friends, that the reason we're in heaven, the reason we're Christians, is that we've been forgiven. That's the whole foundation for our Christian lives. That Jesus took our sin on the cross when he died for us, that we might be forgiven and have our slate wiped clean. That's what it is to be Christian. And when we understand that, we're going to extend forgiveness to others, aren't we? And we're going to need to, because we're going to get hurt. It's going to happen. Now, you might say, Tim, but you don't know what happened to me. You know, you don't know what somebody done to me in church here or in some previous church experience. Easy for you to say, forgive. I'm not suggesting forgiveness is easy. I'm not suggesting forgiveness is ever easy. I don't think it is. But we must understand who we are. We have been forgiven. We must forgive others. And it's very general here. We're told to forgive everything and anything. You see that really clearly in verse 13. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. There's no escape clause here for some certain sort of hurt which is just too extreme. We're to forgive everything, anything and everything. So friends, let me urge us to be forgiving, to forgive one another. Do not harbour resentment. Do not hang on to hurt. Do not harbour bitterness. That just poisons congregational life. We need to forgive. We need to offer grace, just as we have received grace through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is how we live as those raised with Christ. This is how we dress appropriately for our new home heaven. We love. We forgive. Are we living that way, friends? Friends, let me close now just with one essential. One essential that will make you continue to be pleased to please the Lord Jesus. Pleased to serve at the pleasure of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an essential word. I'm happy for it to be my parting word after such a rich 3 years with you here at St. John's. And it's verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word of Christ is the gospel. It's the message that Jesus, through his death and resurrection, takes us to God. That's the word of Christ. That's a summary of the word of Christ. And we're to let this gospel sink down deeply into us. We're to absorb it, to imbibe it, to ingest it, to devour it, to build our lives upon it. And that's my word to us, friends. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And when you do that, you'll understand who you are as a Christian, a new creation forgiven by Jesus. You'll understand where you live, no longer the old way of life, but now seated with Jesus in heaven. And so you'll want to live appropriately. You want to devote your whole life to Jesus. You want to live for his pleasure. And that's why verse 17 follows verse 16. Verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Friends, understand who you are in Christ. Understand where you are in Christ. And then you'll be able to say, I serve at the pleasure of the Lord Jesus Christ. As for me, Alison and our children, we serve at the pleasure of our Lord Jesus Christ. Will you continue with us in service of our Lord Jesus? Let me pray. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you so much for your Son, the Lord Jesus, and his death for our sins. We thank you that because of what he did for us on the cross, we can be forgiven for our sins. And we thank you that through being joined with Jesus, we are seated with you in heaven, even now while we live on earth. Father, help us to understand this. Help us to understand our new identity and our new home. And help us to live appropriately, we pray. Help us to see where we haven't been living appropriately and have been hanging on to the old ways. And help us to put that to death and put that behind us, we pray. And help us to recognize how we can better clothe ourselves, fit for our new home, that we might indeed live lives of love and of forgiveness toward one another, that we might be the people that you have saved us to be. So again, we thank you for your grace to us. Help us to keep growing in our understanding of it, and help us to keep growing in our understanding of the implications of it. that we would live lives worthy of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.